It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the last episode of 2018. And yeah, there's still a lot of Apple news. We'll talk about the Apple-Qualcomm fight. It's getting bitter, getting vicious right now. Some free audiobooks for you from Apple, which starts a conversation about whether Apple might be getting into the audiobook business. And we'll talk about TV, Apple's plans for that. It's all coming up next on Mac Break Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 641, recorded Tuesday, December 18th, 2018. Tick, tick, chunk. Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by Brex, the first corporate card for startups. Get the card free, and TWiT listeners get Brex card fees waived in perpetuity at brex.com/TWiT. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans, introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Rate Shield Approval locks up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. Learn more and get started at rocketmortgage.com/MacBreak. And by privacy.com. Stop using the same card number everywhere. Use Privacy virtual cards and you'll get a $5 credit off your first purchase. Learn more and sign up in under a minute with your debit or checking account at privacy.com/MacBreak. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Apple. The full team has assembled our last Mac Break Weekly of 2018. Alex Lindsay is here.
Hello, hello.
Great to have you from the Pixel Core.
Good to be here.
I am not going to break out the bottle of Louis the 13th today, but it is here.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh.
It is here. Alex is... I tricked Alex into coming in for our Christmas Eve TWiT on
I
Sunday.
Ordered my ascot.
Bring your ascot. I have a smoking jacket you can borrow.
All right, excellent.
And we will be imbibing the world's most expensive cognac.
Excellent. Excellent.
During the show. Also with us, Renee Ritchie from Montreal, where Christmas is already over.
Sorry, we had Canadian Christmas last month, Leo.
Yeah. Great to see you.
Is that because Santa starts up there? Like he's
Alex, just distract Leo for a second. I'm trainer battling him while he's doing the show.
Oh, stop it. Are you really? Are you? Stop it. Stop it. He is my Pokemon Go sensei. And of course, at imore.com, he's everybody's Pokemon Go sensei, along with everything else that he writes about, including... Have you ever done a Vector podcast on Pokemon Go?
I did a Vector video on it just 2 weeks ago because we got the embargo on the trainer battle. So I did a whole how to do trainer battles video.
See, it's getting to
before it came out. Yeah.
It's getting to be like that. It's getting to be big. Also with us, it's getting bigger. Andy Inako, Chicago.
Formerly of the Star of Sometimes.
Now WGBH of Boston Public Radio.
Thank you.
I gotta get that. Hello, Andrew. Good to see you. Did you see this though? Apparently, and I don't know how they would do this, Russia used Pokemon Go in 2016 for their election propaganda. How would they do that, Renee? I don't even know.
Because
okay, I understand Instagram,
wanted,
Facebook,
they would
and Twitter.
Electrocute you with their tail.
This is that report that was offered to Congress, committed by the Senate Intelligence Committee. Links between a YouTube account run by a Russian troll farm and a Tumblr post encouraging Pokemon Go players to name their Pokemon after police brutality victims. I don't think it worked.
This whole social networking thing is an experiment that went wrong. Can we roll back? Can we roll back to Friendster?
Something somewhere went terribly, terribly wrong. But we aren't here to talk Pokemon Go. Except in the interstices of the actual conversation. Apple has announced it's going to build a campus in Austin.
It's a great place.
No manufacturer. No manufacturer.
A real campus, too. Not just a technical support center, not just a logistics. They already have all that stuff there. An honest-to-gosh engineering and full-on Apple campus.
Look at Apple's distribution. This map from this is Apple.com. Apple's projected U.S. employment by 2022. And those big dots are a 1,000 or more employees.
They keep changing this map. Hawaii had 3 before. Now it's gone to 0. It's so confusing.
Hey, they left. They couldn't take the climate.
They went to Alaska.
They went to Alaska. Nobody's there either. Nobody in Maine, North Dakota, South Dakota.
There's a lot of lonely,
a lot of buildup in Pittsburgh, I'd like to point out.
Now, this includes retail, so I don't think that that's, you know.
No, these are headquarters. I don't think these are the.
It says U.S. employment. I think that's everybody.
There's a lot of retail stores that aren't being shown there.
90,000 people in all 50 states, including Hawaii, because there is an Apple store there. So, I don't know. Anyway, this new campus, less than a mile from existing facilities, 133 acres, 5,000 employees, the capacity to grow to 15,000, which makes Apple the largest private employer in Austin.
Where was the beauty pageant? I missed the entire beauty pageant.
Yeah, that's what Amazon did.
I mean, there was supposed to be weeks of intrigue. It was supposed to be like the Amazing Race, but for campuses.
It's almost as if like Apple had no like business use for all the data about city infrastructure that they could collect by making every major city open up their books to them.
Oh.
But that's just cynical for me, I'm sure.
Here's retail. This is retail. So there's a lot of.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, Hawaii's back. Thank goodness.
Hawaii's back, as is Alaska.
Montana, so sorry. North Dakota, South Dakota.
There's no Apple store there. Every town. It's like the new Radio Shack. Every town should have an Apple store.
Yeah, next to every Starbucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Apple is trying to figure out what it's going to do. China has banned all but the iOS 12 iPhones, thanks to the Qualcomm lawsuit. One way to do this, an increase, I don't understand how this will do it. You can explain it to me. In Pegatron iPhone assembly to skirt China ban. Is Pegatron outside China?
This whole thing is so, it's Pegatron. I don't know, because they're all Taiwan based, but they manufacture a lot in Shenzhen, I think. But it's so weird. It's a Qualcomm patent, but for software, and software updates can get around the patent because it's really a software patent.
So the thing is just eventually legal bizarrety. The patch would change this.
Yeah, I mean there were rumors that were rushing out the patch this week just to.
According to the Nikkei Asian Review and documents they saw, iPhones produced by Pegatron are exempt from the ban, whereas phones sourced from Foxconn and Wistron are blocked. Apparently. Pegatron pays a license fee for the software Apple uses that's Qualcomm's asserting they own, and Foxconn and Wistron don't. I didn't even know that was possible.
Apple. I saw the lawyer yesterday on Bloomberg. He was dapper, and he had the best name ever.
What was that?
It was like Thaddeus Robash or some amazing like young adult novel. I'm going to double check it. Some amazing young adult novel name.
What did he say? Did he say... Even we lawyers can't figure this out.
He just said it was a bunch of mumbo jumbo to distract from the fact that they had no case and that they were abusing Fran. And all the same things. Like the basic talk. He was not a lawyer for Apple. He was a lawyer for Apple manufacturers who was not very happy.
It seems like this is all getting caught up in
it's
the
about
whole.
The trade war.
It's all about the trade war.
Yeah. You know? It's just tit for tat. It's a retaliation.
Theodore Boastress Jr. Sorry. Theodore Boastress Jr.
That's a good name. You're right.
That Dick Van Dyke's name in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Pegatron is also looking at moving some of its iPhone production to Indonesia, and that's about tariffs.
Right.
That's what happened to my e-bike. Where'd my e-bike go? It's in here somewhere. It took me months to get it because they had to move their production to Germany from the U.S. Right. because they had a $300,000 bill for the motors they had imported from China due to the new 25% tariff.
This is typical what's going on. So many industries related to tech, and even some that are even not related to tech, they can't make the plans they thought that they could make 5 years out are now inoperative because now they have to have a whatever plan B and plan B they had before. Now they have to have a plan B prime, a plan C prime. I talked to someone that was a couple months ago that was like, we literally have three books on the shelf. One is if Trump gets thrown out of office before the end of his term. One before if he does not get reelected, but a Democrat takes over. One is if a Republican takes over, and all with sub issues on basically what happens with the with tariffs and relationship with China. And a lot of it is really long term stuff, not just. Oh, thank goodness the tariff war is over. Now we can go back to business as usual. We're seeing them saying, well, let's start relationships with other chains. Let's make sure that we now have alternatives to go to, whereas we thought that this line was absolutely rock solid. Now we have to realize that we're building on sand, and we have to be able to move the caravan whenever we need to.
Now Qualcomm's going back to China. They said, oh, that worked. Let's see if we could take advantage of this political situation to get the 10S, 10S Max, and the 10R banned. Financial Times says Qualcomm's asking courts in China to ban the latest models. We plan to use the same patents to file suit against the three new iPhone models.
It'll be interesting.
It's kind of sleazy to take advantage of a political situation to.
I wonder whether at some point this becomes there's a possible future 10 years out that has like when we say what happened to Qualcomm, you know, like where did they go? Well, and it was like, well, they picked a fight with one of their largest suppliers or what largest clients, you know, and, you know, Apple is slowly working them out. You know, a lot of people are working them out. And I think a lot of people are, you know, that this push that Qualcomm's doing could end up, you know, doing them a lot of damage in the long term.
I was trying to figure out why my iPhone got 12.1.2, but my iPad did not. It's still at 12.1.1. There's two reasons. One, because the eSIM had a bug that they enabled in 12.1.1. But the other reason there's an update on the iPhone is these patents.
Yep.
This is an attempt to address the three patents in the Qualcomm case so that they don't lose the right to sell this year's iPhones in China or elsewhere.
It's a benefit to being able to update every modern iPhone with the push of a button.
Qualcomm says despite the 12.1.2 update, Apple continues to violate the injunction that would see iPhone sales banned in China. Qualcomm believes they're in violation of the court order, even though they haven't been given permission to do so. So what a vicious fight is going on.
You know, to Alex's point, Qualcomm is a silicon vendor, and that's not even their main business. Their main business is patent licensing, and those two businesses aren't harmonious. One, patent licensing damages their other business, and they've had a lock on a lot of the chipsets because if you wanted to sell phones in America, you had to use CDMA because of Verizon and Sprint. And that was not the case internationally, but Qualcomm took an exorbitant tax because of its right to the U.S. market. And like even Samsung, who makes their own much better chips than Qualcomm, had to use this. Well, decided it was in their best interest to use Qualcomm chips in the U.S., thus bifurcating their phone lines. But that's increasingly not going to be the case Huawei and Samsung and Apple and all these companies start going to their own silicon and now to their own modems. And I think it's really short-sighted of Qualcomm to put they made a lot of money off of these patents. Yay, great for them. Smart business. I'm glad they got it. But I think to Alex's point, they could have looked to their very short-term future and seen we can either progress this and try to gouge as much money as we can before we crash and burn, or we can do a fair arrangement with all of these companies and all of these territories and make quite a bit of money still going forward for years to come.
And when you look at Apple opening up, expanding, you know, they're opening up in Austin, but they're also expanding their presence in San Diego. They're doing that, you know, for some specific reasons. You know, I mean, you know, it would be very convenient if you had, I mean, I don't know, you know, what Apple's doing there, but Qualcomm is in San Diego, and it would be very convenient in California where there is no non-competes. You can start, you know, with their kind of wallet, Apple can start draining their engineering staff, you know, and that's something that, you know, I don't know what Apple's going to do with it. I know that's what I would do with it.
Yeah, you Qualcomm's guys are engineering vicious. Staff
isn't. If someone played dirty pool with me in China,
but wait a minute,
I would open it, up and I would so, try to hire so, every one of their engineers.
I mean, I don't pretend to understand this case. I don't know that it's dirty pool. Admittedly, it's
they
a political
want
situation going.
Of profits.
Yeah. Well,
like they want profits. They believe that their component in the phone is so important that they deserve royalties based on the entire phone, not just on their component. Which
yeah, but Apple's saying we're not going to give you one red cent either, right?
Well, they're saying they'll pay a fair and reasonable amount, like based on the cost of the component, not on the cost of the phone. And if you think about like Sony makes a sensor, Sony's saying cameras are so important to phones now, we want 20%, and the modem wants 20%, and the AR technology wants, and pretty soon there's 120% of the profits leaving the phone. I mean, every company has to be reasonable. But the bigger problem is that Qualcomm's patents are, again, they're eating their business. They don't have the best engineers anymore. They just announced their new processors, and it's a generation behind what Apple and Samsung are doing. And that's just not in their best interest either, because it's hard enough to have a merchant silicon business. But if you're draining it for the patent fights, that's just even worse for you in the long run.
Yeah.
Well, their real product is compatibility. The fact that they've got this chipset that works everywhere with every carrier across the world, and they have a lot of experience in making sure that these things maintain compatibility. They also have a lot of experience in fighting to make sure that the standards that are approved are very compatible with what Qualcomm wants to make or what Qualcomm can defend. So it's not just that it's not just manufacturing capability. It's not just the speed of the processors. It's the knowledge that if you put that Q processor, that Q modem inside your device, a lot of your problems are solved. We see a lot of stories about how Apple and other companies, because they are smart, working on their own technology to replace Qualcomm's, but that's going to have a bunch of growing pains. They're really going to have their chips up and working for several years of testing before they would try to put inside something as specific as an iPhone. The Apple, you know what kind of disruption it takes when you find out that on one carrier in one country, that an iPhone is now not working or it's not getting the promised speeds. That's almost a crisis point. Imagine how bad it would be to say that, well, so long as you're not in a zone that has both 5G and LTE at the same time on a tower that has a common misconfiguration on it, you will get good speeds. Otherwise, enjoy your Haze Robotic 1200 modem speeds. So that's really what they're selling. But Renee is absolutely right. I think they're playing their hands way too hard. Yep. This could be. I have heard of companies in the past essentially being as smart as Renee is saying that. Well, we know that we only have a few more years in which we can make money off of this. So let's just smash open as many piggy banks as possible. And if it involves holding people's feet to the fire and basically holding companies' products hostage, we're gonna have to do that. But Lord knows that their business transitioning into wearable processors is not doing that great because they are building chips for almost a dying range of mobile wearable devices right now. So they're going to have maybe they really are in this sort of drastic, let's get as much money in the kitty so we can ease out the coming storm.
Well, and I believe that
they literally can't afford to make those watch chips. Like, that's the reason. Like, the reason they have bad watch chips is because they reused an old chip, and now they're reusing the reused old chip because they don't have enough money to invest in new chips. And a lot of that, I think, is because of the way that they're draining their coffers through these patent fights.
Well, and I believe that the SEC is investigate them under the FRAND requirements, and if they lose that, then all of this goes away. Like, you know, it's a devastating.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled by Apple's choice of Intel modems either in its devices, which are worse than the Qualcomm chips. So that hurts consumers, doesn't it?
Yeah. Once again, that's a big. It's not a third rail, but it would be a very, very big step for them to say we're going to go with a less compatible modem than the industry standard. So.
It's a, you know, these things, nobody wins, unfortunately. They're expensive and drawn out. And I'm sure both sides feel like they have a case here or they wouldn't be pursuing it. It is a shame that it got caught up in the trade war.
Right.
But, yes. More importantly, both sides feel as though they have a very deep financial interest to keep this fight going rather than to find a point in which to settle.
Yeah.
This isn't like Microsoft Apple from years ago where each had something that the other wanted or needed. And so they could come back and say, Apple, you can help us out a lot with this antitrust thing we're going through with the government. Apple said you could really help us maintain credibility if you were to pledge support for the Mac for the next few years. Qualcomm Apple does not have anything like that going on. It really is. Qualcomm saying basically thinking that Apple is the key to the continued success of the company. They need those taps of money to keep on going. Apple is saying you are holding us up. You are charging us money that we don't think we need to pay. This is not going to end except in fire.
Although Qualcomm chips are used in every other phone except Apple's phones.
So, in the U.S., but they're not used internationally. Like Kirin is used in Huawei, and Exynos is used
in
Samsung.
Yeah, they're used in jurisdictions where you need CDMA, right? Is that the reason?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Qualcomm has a CDMA
stranglehold on and because Verizon and Sprint. No, but also Verizon and Sprint didn't switch to HSPA like every other performers. Right. Like in Canada, Bell and Telus switched to HSPA because they wanted to get on the LTE train.
To the ignorant observer, and I'll count myself as that, it looks a lot like what Apple did to Adobe. okay, fine. We'll just make our own.
Right.
Right? And Apple is kind of notorious for that. Okay, fine.
Right. Well, they can afford to be. They have the money. But the other side of that coin is that Qualcomm, usually in these types of arrangements, you say, we'll allow your technology to be the basis for something so important as interoperable network communications for the upcoming wireless standard. But at the same time, you have to agree to then license those patents freely, reasonably, and non-discriminatory. And that's the part that's under litigation.
A good template for that is what Apple does with ARM, because Apple's chips are based on ARM chips, just as Qualcomm's chips are. And that apparently is a happy relationship for both parties.
And ARM doesn't say you have to give us 20% of the entire phone because we're so important, we make the entire phone work. Right.
Well, and I think that a lot of this fight is also building up towards the modems that we're using in the future will be 5G. And, you know, I think Apple's trying to make a decision about what
they're
going
to
use.
Apple wants to make their own.
Oh, they want to make their own. And I'm surprised that they haven't made their own. I mean, given how much money they're making and how long they've been doing it, it kind of surprises me they haven't internalized these capacities earlier.
Mm. But that's interesting. On a device that's as small as an iPhone, would Apple be willing to have their own 5G chipset, but then use someone else's chipset for 4G and LTE, as opposed to here is one package that will deliver everything, including future compatibility with rootware upgrades? And this is Apple is in a good position because they could build all of this themselves. The problem is that the reason why Android is the de facto operating system for mobile is that all of these other companies don't have the resources to build their own operating system. If someone offers them something off the shelf that can be modified, they're definitely going to take it. But there is going to be a point at which Qualcomm is not going to be able to keep holding these people up to these things, especially if Apple if Apple really wanted to poison the milk. What they could do is essentially have their researchers build their own sort of solution to this problem and then open source it or offer it as just basically say, we feel as though compatibility of phones for everybody helps everybody. And so we're taking these $900 million worth of research we did and the chip fab, the templates, we'll give you samples. We'll send people out to your factories to help you make these things, and all because we want phones to be compatible.
Well, and the tricky part of that is that, you know, that's what a lot of what was being pushed for VP9, you know, and a lot of the other things that Google was doing, because Google and Facebook and other folks don't want to pay H.260. You know, they don't want to pay for
they want to pay MPEG-LA for the rights.
MPEG-LA for all the rights. And so they want to open source something. Then you end up in legal battles because they're saying that the open source stuff is, of course, based on the...
It's all AV1 now, Alex. That's going to save us.
So Qualcomm, interestingly, has 15% of the 5G patents out there. It's not over when CDMA goes away.
And they're drafting 6G already.
And one of the big issues is going to be that, as you know, the Qualcomm is Broadcom's trying to buy Qualcomm. They're a Singapore company. And the big concern in the United States is that China will have the bulk of 5G patents. Remember, we're trying to, you know, the administration is trying to keep people from using Huawei gear, ZTE gear. Nokia has 11%, Ericsson 8%, Qualcomm 15%. And so there's some fear that if a Singapore company acquires Qualcomm, that there's more patents that are going out of the U.S.
I was always surprised Apple didn't buy Infineon and let Intel buy them, because Infineon was the original modem maker. And if Apple did want to be in that business, that would have given them several years of a head start.
All right, this is cynical, but maybe Apple made the decision it's cheaper to fight this in court than to buy Infineon.
Maybe. It seems like that's in their wheelhouse, though.
Maybe that was the thought when it started.
It's
getting really expensive now.
Has it stayed cheaper?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they thought that would be... That's just the problem with court, you know?
It's always
a crapshoot. You don't know what the results are going to be. And so
for a nail goes your kingdom.
And the thing is, lawyers... This is all coming from my personal experience now. Lawyers always overestimate your chances, but what they don't tell
you
is
underestimate your
no goal. Matter what we estimate, it's really somewhat random, and you can go into court, and then there could be a trade war, and then China can rule against you, and then you're screwed. Right. So it's really unpredictable, and this is why instead of making that calculus, let's not buy Infineon, let's just sue. In my opinion, I would tell my kids this. The bet that whatever you could do to stay out of the legal system, whether it's robbing liquor stores or suing Qualcomm, do.
I come from a family of lawyers, and that's the
they'll say
max.
The same thing,
oh yeah,
right?
do everything you can to avoid that until you have to,
because it'll chew you up.
Oh yeah,
sometimes you have to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's no recourse, and I understand that as well. But yep. but you can never make a logical or a rational decision about what's going to happen because you just don't know. And then there's juries. I'm telling you, my new philosophy: get people out of the equation. It's all I've got a plan. I got
You want to play a game?
It's in short: let go and let Google. Just let go and let Google. Okay. I know you don't like. I know people are not going to like this plan, but it's a good plan.
Google,
do you know that Google an imaginary has a wonderful plan to fight inflation?
Well, it doesn't have to be Google, but it has to be somebody with advanced machine learning technology. I feel like Google's pretty much at the lead in the forefront of that. But whoever's best at
IBM, they're innocuous. They can't do any harm anymore.
Yeah, except they're finding out that Watson really isn't that smart.
I know.
They
can't win.
He's doing the best he can.
Now they are the machinery that the consultants who control the decision-making process of the world, they are basically the gears of that thought process. So,
well, that's the... So I think a lot of times we focus. I'll talk more about this tomorrow on Twig. I think that's where I'm gonna debut my new political platform.
Yeah, unleash it.
But we often, because of science fiction, think when we're talking artificial intelligence, we're thinking RoboCop. We're thinking, human thinking machines. That's not what we're talking about, really. Machine learning is the humans set the criteria and the standards and the training sets, and so. What we have to do is do that right and then let the machines take
it. Well, and if you look at something like gerrymandering is a good example of something where you go,
shouldn't a machine do that?
A machine should definitely do that.
We set the rules. We say, here's what we want. We want equitable distribution of votes or whatever.
Mostly that we just want to start at the bottom corner. We want to go this way. We don't want to
divide it equally.
Cities up,
and a machine would do a better job. Machines do a better job driving cars. Machines. Yep. Now, it's early days, so Watson didn't do so well in medicine. But that doesn't mean it won't in time.
Right.
Humans will determine what are the outcomes we want and then let the machine do it. Our mistake is humans determine what are the outcomes we want and then we try to do it and we screw it up every freaking time.
Well, the machine's going to think we're a bunch of idiots and then cleanse the earth.
No, that's the AI thing. That's the old RoboCop thing. They're not smart. That's not the issue. It's machine learning, human rules, but they're going to do it rationally. They're going to drive a car rationally. Yeah. They're going to gerrymander rationally. They're going to make rational
decisions.
And then
my iPhone will have a question mark as a text entry for a month.
Well, even not to turn this into another 45-minute rat hole on something that's painfully interesting but not Apple related. But yeah, I mean, so it's always going to be about what instructions do the humans give the machines.
That's right.
And so when it comes to gerrymandering, it's if you want to make sure that every community within a group has a political voice, do you arrange the district so that I vote alongside the 5,000 people who live closest to me? Or is it because we've determined that here is Andy Notko's political thought. We are going to give him sort of a virtual congressional district that represents people who think like him so that their congressperson, they will elect a congressperson who reflects their ideals or their beliefs. It's the only problem is when you gerrymander based on a result that you want to create, or basically when you want to disenfranchise people. But on the other, but when you're trying to do it honestly, there is no one great solution, and it's always going to be pretty flawful.
Right, but that's where the debate should happen, rather than
letting. Well, I believe California is largely computer driven example.
The truth is, we're going there. It doesn't matter what you and I say; it's going to happen. But it's just
nail in a handbasket. I agree.
No, it's enjoy clear the ride. That letting humans run the show has been a vast, horrible mistake. I'm just saying.
Let's give ducks a chance. They seem to have it all together.
Hey, public service announcement. Apple offering free next day delivery, but you've got to order by December 21st.
That's Friday, in case you're wondering.
But that means if you order by Friday, you'll get it in time for Christmas. I actually bought a couple of iPads for the Christmas season.
It is much less stressful when you just go to when you order it on Apple.com and then you just go to the Apple store and then just.
I ended up buying it from Amazon because they had $50 off. Mm-hmm. I got the entry-level iPad for $279. I thought that was a very good price.
My problem has always been that I never got... Every time I bought from... I bought a bunch of computers from Amazon in the early days, and I just couldn't get the AppleCare to work correctly. Like, it never registered the way it was supposed to, and then I was just like, I don't want to play anymore.
Why should they make it easy?
Exactly. So when you buy it at the Apple Store, it just works, and then I'm just like, okay.
Our show today brought to you by Brex, the first corporate credit card for startups. This is something anybody who runs a business needs to know about. We just set up our Brex account. It's so cool. First of all, it's easy. 5 minutes, you do it online. Here's the thing you're going to like as a startup or a business owner. The underwriting is based on cash flow, the cash raised by your business, not your personal credit. It doesn't require a credit score, a social security number. It doesn't even require a security deposit. And because of that, they can offer your company 10 to 20 times higher limits than other corporate credit cards with no personal liability. Plus, Brex is designed for business, so they give you rewards tailored for modern businesses. For instance, double points on software, triple points on restaurants and travel. What is seven? Septuple points. Is that right? Seven? Septuple points on rideshare. So when you take a Lyft, you get seven times the points. I love it. And there's no limit on how many points you can earn. And points can be redeemed for statement credit on transactions. It's money in your pocket. Plus, they've got great offers with some of the best technology brands and services. People that you use, like AWS or Google, or, you know, we're a Google or G Suite company. We'd save on our G Suite. Salesforce. We work. Brex underwrites your company, not you. So there's no minimum operating history. It's great for startups. There's no painful paper application. And again, I'm going to say it again because it's so important to me. No personal liability required. It is a Visa card. It's a real credit card. I'm not saying it's not a real credit card. It's fast, though. You can instantly issue virtual cards to your employees, set limits, control spend. You could do it in real time. You've got your console. It sets real time limits. You also then get a physical credit card in the mail really quickly, shortly thereafter. I loved this. The first time I used the Brex card, it was awesome. I used it at a restaurant. And I got a text immediately saying, oh, we see you just charged something. Take a picture of the receipt. I said, oh, okay. So I did. Responded to the text with a picture of the receipt. They said, great. We've got that categorized. It's in your QuickBooks. Thank you. Throw away the receipt. You don't need it anymore. I love that. You get complete statement descriptions that clearly tell you what you've spent on. And, of course, not just QuickBooks. It integrates with all the major accounting programs. We use QuickBooks. That's why I mention it. Join the thousands of startups and tech companies who use Brex to manage their growing business needs and earn valuable rewards while doing so. Get the card free. And Twit listeners get Brex cards fees waived in perpetuity at brex.com/twit. That's Brex, brex.com/twit. We thank Brex for not only for their support, but for making the best possible business card. I love it. So, by the way, 9 to 5 Mac had the story this week that Apple is, in fact, working on custom modems for iPhones.
Yep.
So that's, you know, not a surprise. In fact,
for years.
Yeah. They've been poaching employees from Qualcomm for a while or attempting to. According to the information... Let's give credit where credit's due because I love the information. I just renewed my subscription.
They had some great articles this morning.
They're so smart.
Yeah.
Anonymous sources familiar with the cellular modem plans that this is indeed an active project. An Apple-made cellular modem could take as long as 3 years to land in an iPhone. I think, because we've heard that Apple is going to put off 5G till 2020, which is completely reasonable given the state of 5G. That's probably when you do it, right? Not this yep. year, but maybe next
6G,
year.
6G, maybe 6G.
Or wait till 6? When is 6? 2025?
They're drafting it now.
Are they? Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
You can get 5. So Verizon's doing its own version of 5G.
Which won't work anywhere else.
Right. It's not
just like
it's not the standard. And then who was it? AT&T just announced that they're offering residential 5G in about 12 cities.
I think that happens this Friday?
Yeah, you get a special little 5G modem you put in your window.
And Verizon is writing down Oath so it can afford 5G, and AT&T is buying Time Warner so it can't afford 5G. So it'll be interesting to see where we are in 2 years.
5G will happen, though, right? I mean, it's not...
Yes, it just depends. It's always who can build out the most infrastructure, the best. the fastest who ends up having a good network for the first couple of years.
Yeah. And it also depends on how they can sell it to people and make them realize that they're buying something that's valuable to them, which is going to be a harder sell than LTE was.
Do you consider group FaceTime calls unrealistic?
No.
according to Apple Insider, Apple is working to make them more realistic, the audio in the calls. They're processing, they want to implement the cocktail party effect to make it easier to understand who's talking.
It sounds way better than my carrier.
We use something similar to this, not exactly.
It's spatial rendering, so you know where the voice is coming from.
So a lot of times for some of our folks, what we'll do is if you have comms in stereo in your ears, we will move, like your clients will be over in the right, other people will be over in the left, some people will be in the center. And so by having three or four positions or five positions of where people are that are talking to you, you know who's talking to you, because you might have hundreds of people on a comms from different groups, and you kind of and after a couple hours, you get kind of used to knowing where everybody is. And so it actually makes a lot of sense. I mean, it sounds like it actually is paying attention to where you're looking. So, from looking at that, so it's less crazy than it looks when you read the article.
There's a lot of technology for basically identifying specific voices within one single voice track, and then being able to sort of isolate one and give it more prominence to the others. And that would be a pretty big thing. Like every time before our show, there might be a couple of interesting conversations happening at the same time. One of which being like my conversation with the producers about, okay, so is the lighting okay now? Okay, can you hear me now? Damn. Okay, what if I unplug and replug in? And meanwhile, like you guys can't really have your conversation because it's all being mushed together. But to be able to put multiple conversations that are of interest to one specific listener on the same channel wouldn't just create a wonderful experience for that one person. It would also actually greatly enhance what you can do with one single channel of audio.
And if you think about it, this is actually what people with hearing aids have problems with, is that everybody sounds this at the same level. So they have a hard time. They hear everything kind of together. So this
modern hearing aids are supposed to do directional stuff.
Right. Yeah. But it's the same kind of thing where if you're talking to someone and you kind of turn towards them, you're going to hear them better.
My modern hearing aids are somewhere with my AirPods. If anybody sees.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
If found, please return.
And I bet you your modern hearing aids cost a lot more than the AirPods.
A lot more. Although I am on my third set of AirPods, so it's catching up. Nick D in our chat room, who was just in studio and then his whole group had to leave, they were visiting, says we are now using FaceTime more than Skype for Business. It beats Skype for Business in every way. That's an interesting, unexpected side effect of that.
I think that I find that FaceTime is more stable than many of the other platforms, but it's also a little bit a notch lower in quality oftentimes, and so but it works better.
Start using it. We bought a Mac Mini just for that purpose.
When you have good bandwidth, it's going to look better on Skype than it does on FaceTime.
Oh, interesting.
Look and sound better.
Oh, interesting.
At least that's been our experience.
We just bought the big Skype TX box, so I'm not sure I want to switch to FaceTime.
Right.
But
I have a
Skype.
A lot of the
I want to abandon Skype. God knows.
Yes.
But it's especially the best. It's still the best. There's nothing out there that comes close.
Yeah, the thing that it does better than all the other platforms is it will suck up as much bandwidth as you give it. But the problem
of our hosts like Renee and Andy have lots of bandwidth, and so they do. They almost always look great if there aren't other issues.
Right. The hard part is that Skype doesn't handle variations in the bandwidth nearly as well because it's using up so much of it. So if it suddenly drops, you start to break up pretty quickly.
That's what we notice.
And so, this is obviously something I've had to do hundreds of events with, with all the different platforms. And we have about four or five of those Skype boxes because of that, because it is still going to look the best. Unfortunately, the Skype TX boxes are mostly done,
what do you mean done? Like it's over?
No, they're mostly complete. They're not quite.
Oh yeah. We have actually a really nice one, but it has an audio bug. It's not in production yet. We're still using Skype-O-Matic.
And which audio bug are you having? Because I can tell you which one. You have. Wait.
Talk with our engineers. I don't know.
You have the NewTek Skype box.
Yep.
It's the VS400.
Yep.
And it's losing sync.
Yep. Nope.
Yeah, it is. It's,
Carson says yes.
So the only way to keep sync on
Alex would know more because he's been working with
So the Dante protocol.
Distortion issues.
And is that coming out of the analog? Return audio.
So it's not for us, but it would be for Andy and Renee as they get
Are you feeding it Dante? Are you using Dante to transport it? What?
Livewire.
Oh, we've never used Livewire. So we use...
It's apparently a Livewire bug, or bug interaction.
The problem is that the Skype TX box, 99% of the users use it with SDI. So if you de-embed and embed the SDI signals, it works perfectly because that's what everybody does. If you use the Dante, the analog, the anything else, you're in this like tiny little percentage that they never test, and
we're working with them to make it work.
There you go.
And it will work.
You will make it work.
We're working with them, and then they're going to fix the bug.
Right.
It's actually a nice relationship. We have
NewTek is very responsive. It's just a matter of having
and
a sample rate.
We've used NewTek years since the very earliest days. So
they're the best of the Skype TX boxes. We tested all of them.
That's the one.
So they're the best ones. We have five of them.
Nice.
Okay, getting back to FaceTime.
Oh, what were we talking about? It's not even Max.
I'm just saying, does this point out a problem that Apple's going to have going forward that people can prefer it to Skype, but the great thing about Skype is that it works on damn near everything. And are you going to force people to this is the greatest communication platform you can possibly have, provided that everybody in your entire network is using Apple devices? And given how much of a push they're putting into video now, their video streaming service, can they continue to say that this is going to be the greatest video streaming service? Well, we're developing and putting all kinds of money into all kinds of deals for all kinds of amazing content. And unless you have an Apple streaming device that really has absolutely no advantage over any other box that costs a third as much, you won't be able to watch any of it. They have to really start to think about, depending on what their plans are, they're going to have to start thinking about becoming a multi-platform company if they really want to achieve what they seem to want to achieve here.
I don't think that the thing is that you can have a really good business with a very small percentage. I don't think that they need it. I think that the dealing with the multi-platform issues, we deal with a lot of the multi-platform issues on a lot of these things, and it's just easier when it's all on the same platform. And I think that Apple is not going to, I'd be blown away if Apple really gets into any more multi-platform than they already are doing, because I don't think that you can have a small percentage. I mean, a very successful car company might have 6 or 8% of the market. You know, they don't need to have 40% or 50% of the market. They can have 10% or 5% of the market that's very happy.
Well, but your customer isn't one person buying one car for themselves. The customer is a group of people that are trying to work together. And so at what point does an institution, this is great for families, but what happens when aren't institutions more likely to say that we have to reject this out of hand because we can't simply we can't tell somebody who needs to be in on this conversation that you have to go to the Apple store and put the cone of silence over you and one of those demo iPads because this is not going to our company solution or our group organization solution doesn't work with Apple. And this is a conversation we've had been talking about video streaming before. But how prominent can they be if they're creating culture that can only be appreciated by people who are buying really expensive electronics?
Oh, but if you look at like,
I think they're pushing the easy button, and I don't think they should be pushing the easy button.
Yeah, I think that I think they're going to continue to push the easy button. I mean, you look at like for me, I would not give my kids anything other than an iPhone because I do all the little gifts and the little things, and I do FaceTime and I do all these other things. I'm not going to I'm giving them older phones, but so that's not just one person. That's a whole family deciding that we're all going to be iPhone because I don't want to deal with trying to show them how to do anything cross-platform.
I'm a Facebook portal family. I'm giving everybody Facebook portals for Christmas.
The terrible problem with FaceTime is that everyone remembers that Steve Jobs wanted to open source it because it was this wonderful, beautiful peer-to-peer technology. And then they rapidly told him, that's nice, Steve. We didn't build it that way. And oh, by the way, Vertimex is now suing us 19 different ways from Sunday.
Is that what happened?
And we're having to re-architect it through relay servers. So now this beautiful peer-to-peer dream that would have been so easy to open source, we're going to add a billion people going through our servers every day for absolutely no money. Cross-platform and services, two things we do so well. No.
Oh, so now we know what happened. I didn't realize all of that was
there. And Apple's not good at it. I mean, any cross-platform.
And there's no business model because they have to literally take potentially a billion extra customers onto relay servers to work around this patent that they've been litigating for 8 years now.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Again with the patents. Here's a surprise.
They get hit by the rocket so much.
Here's a surprise. You can now play your Apple Music on your Amazon Echo. How did that happen?
There's something going on between those two.
That's got to hurt pod sales, right?
Go
ahead, Renee. I'm interrupting, I think.
No, I was just going to say that Apple Music has a very different mandate. It's been available on Android since day one, and Apple could have easily canceled the Android app when they took over. But they prioritize family plans, and they realize that not everyone in the family has an iPhone, and not everyone in the family has a HomePod, and it provides greater value to the families if you can buy the subscription and then play it on anything you happen to have.
We just responded to that by saying, Alex said, I give everybody an iPhone in my family. That way it all works.
But this is a paid service. This is not like FaceTime,
so they make money.
All those things
are
free.
You're right.
This is a paid service, and that's a very easy business model to justify.
Yeah. And right now, I mean, I have an
Yeah,
you know, in the kitchen we have an Echo Show or whatever, and my wife and my kids use it almost constantly. And I have Amazon Music I have Prime or whatever.
That's the other surprise.
But I pay for that just for that Echo because of
the Echo. Amazon, I have my Amazon Unlimited because of our Echoes.
It's mostly so my daughter, when we make breakfast, my daughter came home and said, "Play Pearl Jam," and then I just plays Pearl Jam.
So who gave in on this one? Amazon,
they got a really
Apple?
Good deal for selling Amazon. Well, it's both. They got a deal. Amazon is selling Apple stuff again, and Apple gets to push Apple Music more, which is sometimes you want to have services that help you lock people to your hardware, and sometimes you want to have services that create their own business. And when you have paid services, those are the easiest to sort of see as their own businesses. It's much more doubtful that people will say they'll pay $10 a month for iMessage or FaceTime, but they won't. But they will pay $10 a month for music and probably for television.
You know what music no longer will have? Remember Ping? Apple Music.
I posted a couple things on Ping.
I did too.
It's a social network for photons.
Apple Music Connect seems to be going the way of Ping now. Apple has started telling Apple Music artists it's removing the ability for those artists to post content to Connect. And previously posted content is being removed from the For You section and artist pages in Apple Music. This is the announcement artists are receiving, according to 9to5 Mac. We've made a few changes to Apple Music. We'd like to tell you.
And there's probably like six independent artists that are like, I can't believe they did this to me.
Bono's pissed.
No one else is.
Today we're streaming music discovery. We're streamlining music discovery by removing Connect posts.
Streamlining
it. So is this?
Nobody's using it and they don't want to update.
Nobody's using it. They don't care about it. Yeah.
It's like Google Plus.
I used it. Here's where I use it. I think it's still doing it. It's part of my recommendations engine, right? Those artists.
But it was never going to work unless Apple literally paid a marketing person to be with every musician for several hours a day using it on their behalf. It was never going to attain any serious traction with artists.
They'd rather use Twitter.
This was a really wonderful deal for artists in which they get to create exclusive content for Apple Music without getting any benefit from it back. So that was not going to work out.
But Paul McCartney and Emma Stone created some music. It's a anti-bullying video from McCartney and Stone, which is an interesting pair.
Everyone did something once, Leo.
Yeah. It's from his 2018 album, Egypt Station. It's an Apple Music exclusive.
They were Connect curious.
I could just play a little bit of it. There's Paul.
Listen to this song and watching this video. If there are kids being bullied, they might just think it's the kind of thing you can just stand up to and laugh off.
It's kind of creepy looking. Okay. That's all I can play because it's on Apple Music exclusively. Apple has taken 3 of the 25 spots on Adweek's best ads of 2018. Ooh. I think they should have all 25 of them.
They should have 30 of them.
Yeah. I think one of them, of course, is their holiday ad, which I love, which we showed.
The physical models that they built were just, I wanted as my train set, Leo.
Yeah. So that is 9th place. It's called the Share Your Gifts holiday animation commercial.
Although can I say that as anybody who's been like a creator for a long time can attest, the idea that here's all the artwork that I've done that I decided not to show people, here are all the short stories that I've written and poems I've decided not to show people, guess what, it suddenly all gets blown out the window and now it's available to just strangers in the street who are going to look at it on it. That's like a Facebook horror story.
Yeah.
Oh my god, all my private posts under my alias have now been tagged public.
Yeah, Yeah, poor Sophia.
But good puppets, good animation.
It's number 19 on the list. This ad, the one where the girl's walking through her high school locker alley and unlocks her phone with her Face ID and then unlocks her locker with Face ID.
I was never sure about this from a security perspective.
Unlocks just, all the lockers.
Those aren't her lockers. Now, Apple is... This is like another anti-Google, anti-Facebook sort of position to take.
She unlocks everything with...
Thank God that janitor's shirt didn't fly open when she looked at him.
All the school desks. Did. It's a good ad, but you're right. I'm not sure the messaging is exactly what Apple...
Someone did like the prompt take blood NASA over engineers. Her or something. That's
no, she stole a NASA engineer's package and the Tinder bomb went off.
It's very expensive for the school. That's
she's
all. I gotta
she's
say.
Letting all the frogs out of their cages in biology class, letting the fish out of their. Oh my God, this is.
See, now she's fleeing the school. She's trying to get me.
All because of Face ID. Unlock with a look. Even take the truant. That, is he locked to the. I never understood that. Oh, I guess he's just wearing a lock around his neck. Or was he locked to the flagpole?
He was locked in the industry.
He's doing a very like 1978 sort of style.
This is the highest rated, though. I kind of surprised me. Number two on the list of the top 25 ads for 2018, Spike Jones HomePod ad, Welcome Home. Let me put the audio on here.
If you look at the making of this, it's
I don't think I saw this.
Oh, my goodness.
When did this come out? Must have been earlier this year.
Yeah, it was...
More around the HomePod time?
So she's on what? On the subway?
She's miserable with us humans, Leo. It's exactly
surrounded by humans. Horrible.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Horrible.
Find some AI.
AI will help. AI will help. Come on. Let your HomePod make your bed.
So much emptier.
And look at how many times they edit or don't edit.
Is it a long tracking shot?
There's a lot of tracking shots here. I'm not sure if it's all tracking, but it's...
No, there's been edits.
There's a cut. They're edited. But when it gets going...
She feels better now because in her tiny little apartment. This is what happens to every young person who moves to New York City. It's so sad.
Except the apartment's half the size.
Yeah, this is giant.
This is a huge.
This is a tumbler full of vodka.
She's falling asleep. This is the second best ad of the year.
This is how I destroyed my laptop. This is falling asleep with a glass in my hand.
But it wasn't gin and tonic.
It had been a clear liquid. Okay. More telekinesis.
Magic. Is your apartment going to get bigger? Oh, it is. Thanks to HomePod, you can have a $5,000 New York City flat.
It's the friend's apartment.
I haven't seen this one. This is a very long one. There's a shorter version.
I haven't seen this one either.
So that's what's interesting. So this is all practicals.
That's
this
practical.
Is not. None of this is CGI. It's all done reality and real. That's pretty cool. I thought I saw this in a Wayfair ad.
We need to have like a number in the lower
this
corner.
Is where it gets
how
mad.
How the value of this property is expanding as they add more square.
Wow, this is still all physical.
Well, I know New York City co-op owners often will break into the apartment next door to expand their flats.
There you go.
This is a new way of doing it. It's kind of an ugly flat now, though, I gotta say. It's a little hallucinogenic.
So, if you had hallucinogens, it would be a great flat.
Who is again? Spike Jones? He's not Spike Lee.
He's done a lot of great videos.
He's a music video director?
He's actually a director of music. Go ahead, Andy.
Sorry. He did a great Christopher Walken video for Fatboy Slim. He is like one of the go-to guys you go to for like a really cool video.
Yeah. If you want to think outside the box.
Spike Jones. Spike Jones. Is she going into the mirror? She's created a second person. She's got a doppelganger. Yes, she is going to the mirror with her doppelganger. The apartment suddenly has entered the Tesseract. I think this is what happens when you take hallucinogens in the New York City subway.
Now, where's the lawsuit about this commercial?
This is the very long ad.
Yeah, this is the long version of it. Like there was a long version of Show Your, the holiday one.
Yeah.
And there was definitely like 30-second, 1-minute versions that were.
Yeah, and I was disappointed because we showed the long one. One does not tell Spike Jones how long his ad.
Well, a lot of times for a lot of these, it costs so much money to build it. It's cheaper to go ahead and you build the big one. That's your whole vision.
Yeah,
knowing that you're going to mostly going to use 30-second, 60-second versions.
That actually is cool because
that was really cool. I didn't see.
Yeah,
that.
She was kind of just. That's what music does to you in a way, doesn't it?
I'm surprised, though. How did something that was that good and clearly cost that much money, and I'm a big nerd who's interested in Apple and all the how did I not know that this exists?
Yeah,
and I know this could say something bad about me, but that's interesting.
It's because none of us are watching ads anymore.
YouTube notifications.
Well, but I still would have had. See, this is why ads have changed. Like that's so good that. I thought that I would have come across it where someone's talking about it on Reddit or someone who's talking about it on an Apple board or an Apple news site. I'm sad that it came out, but it was
so long ago. It was like back in February or something.
But I would have remembered it had I seen it. Maybe, I don't know, maybe whoever posted it only said, oh, new Apple ad. This is why the YouTube app is such an important thing. I see so many really cool ads even though I pay for the no ad version only because like I'm subscribed to like the Google channel, to Google's official channel, Apple's official channel. And so I will see something really, really awesome that they just made as a film. And knowing that I would then hopefully think highly of the HomePod.
Then they put Google ads in front of the ads that they made that they put on YouTube. And then it's just too much. Did you see the glitter bomb, Leo? Have we talked about the glitter bomb?
Yeah, everybody see. I when I saw it this morning, I thought, oh, I got to play this, and I realized everyone in the world has now seen Mark Rober's.
I thought it was okay.
How did they fall for that? Amazon does not ship HomePods. Everybody knows this. Are these thieves just not thinking this?
They're
thing
not
through?
Smart. These thieves. They're not smart.
I thought the kit was okay. I mean.
He must have spent ungodly. So Mark is a former NASA engineer who decided he wanted to thwart the people who steal packages off of his porch. So he took a HomePod case and doctored it to include a centrifugal force glitter bomb. By the way, I love the subtitle. Yeah, I know. Centrifugal force is just a construct.
Yeah.
a glitter bomb that when they open it up, it's got four, not one, not two, not three, but four smartphones in it with LTE connections so it can video the person opening it up. And then it sprays glitter. And then he puts fart spray in it, which I've never heard of, but apparently
really
is disgusting.
They thought that it was...
Well, but he needed a reason for them to throw the package out the window so he could get it back because it has four phones in it. He spent 6 months building this.
Not only that, but it wasn't just like you put a GoPro in there. That's like a custom controller board that he had.
Oh, it must have cost, I don't know, roughly $2,000 to make this.
Look at that beautiful dispersal.
Yeah. It's clever. You know what? He got
like a mushroom cloud of glitter.
At last count, he had 8 million views on YouTube.
So he did well.
What's 8 million views worth? $2,000? I don't think so.
I mean, he did well. 8 million views.
Got attention.
I don't have any videos.
Everybody's linking to
8 million
it.
Views.
No.
But it's a cool thing. The thing that was most surprising to me about it is that here are people who have just like stolen a $400 thing and they've just realized that the thing that they stole was some sort of a bait device that was so elaborately constructed, it probably could not have been done by one person. This is the sort of thing that maybe as an agency would have put together. And their immediate reaction and so many of the videos they posted in this video were like, oh, ha, ha, ha. Oh, strange person who owned that house. You really got me. Oh, that's just delightful. As opposed to, oh, damn. Oh, damn. Oh, damn. I already have warrants. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. There's probably GPS in there. Oh, my God. Oh, my
actually,
God.
Yeah, that was what I came away with was that these package thieves are really just you and me. they're not lifetime crooks. It was a crime of opportunity.
They're taking these boxes back to nice cars and apartments that look at least okay.
And a few of them, like this woman laughed. She thought, nice job, bad guy. Contemplates life choices. No, I loved it. I thought it was great. A huge amount of work. I mean, and a lot of money thrown into that. But that's what's great about YouTube. By the way, you might have wondered, and it took me a while because Adweek is a subscription service. What the number one, if that was the number two ad we just saw for Spike Jones, what was the number one ad? Any thoughts? It's the Nike ad featuring Colin Kaepernick, who has been effectively banned from the NFL because he dared to kneel during the national anthem. It's just a poster. It says, believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything, just do it. And obviously, Adweek picked it not because of its creative, but because of what it says, right? I mean, this is...
Well, because it's genius advertising. If you support his cause, you are definitely going to retweet that. Right. If you are a dope who hates his cause, you are going to retweet the hell out of that. This is also going to be a news item.
Yes.
that the media that you did not pay for is going to go. So it's an effective ad, definitely, but I'm sure that ad we picked it largely because unlike that HomePod ad, well, wow, I can't believe that I never heard of that. And I'm an Apple geek. Like, no, it was impossible to not know about this ad because they're people who are very emotionally engaged and very emotionally driven to make sure everyone knows that you see this ad.
So virality is interesting, but between that glitter bomb and that ad and this one, this is a viral ad from Popeyes. You can go to Popeyes and buy a box of chicken that says emotional support chicken on it. Huh. You can get it only
you take it on airplanes then?
Yeah. It's at the Philly airport. I'd go to Popeyes just to buy that and take it on the plane. KFC has fried chicken flavored fire logs sold out.
They're getting so good at hacking our human brains.
I'm telling you. Yes. We got to get humans out of the equation.
No more. Say no to humans. This fall.
It's
say just, no to humans.
Just I'm just telling you, this is my pick of the week.
You know, this, no this more is humans. Just a, this is exactly the line of thought that started that winds up with Thanos doing what he was going to do.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. There's too many of us.
Snaps all the fingers.
Apple got peanuts, but not for peanuts. Apple has landed right to all of the Charlie Brown shows. I went to buy them yesterday on my Apple TV. $20 for a half hour show. No rental available. $20.
Yeah. Well, they're taking advantage of all the hype, Leo. Wait a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who wants to watch a Christmas special in February?
For next they Christmas. Bought the Christmas you just, you'll have it ready and waiting.
New stuff. That's like
they have a package of... Oh, I should pull this up. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Okay, that's good. That was a good one. It was one of the Rankin Bass ones or something like that.
Yep.
Then it really went downhill. There was a four package set, $20. And then I thought, well, it didn't even include the Charlie Brown Christmas. Charlie Brown Christmas by itself, $20.
Because the Beatles of Christmas specials, Leo.
Exactly. So it's like did you want to see Bruce Springsteen live in New York, or did you want to see like the topless Elvis impersonator and performing in the middle of Times Square?
Yeah, actually, when I think about how much those Springsteen tickets were, $20 doesn't sound that bad. Yeah. Actually, what's great about it though, I was listening this morning on my, as it turns out, HomePod to the soundtrack, which has been released of the Springsteen Broadway show, and you can watch it on Netflix for free too. Yep. So that's good. That's good. He's making sure everybody gets it.
I can't quite figure. We don't have all the information, but Apple seems to be really putting together quite a group.
What's going on? Yeah,
they got the Fast and Furious director. Was it Justin Lin yesterday too?
Yeah.
Yep. I just got to say that I don't know what kind of content they're going to create. I am just so happy that they managed to get Peanuts before Disney got them. Because
that
would have been horrifying. That would have been
horrifying. You would have had all my childhood.
So here it is. The original Christmas classics. You get Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Okay, that's good. Frosty the Snowman, that's good. Santa Claus is Coming to Town and the Little Drummer Boy. $20? Okay, well, and that's not including a Charlie Brown Christmas. Well, I really want that. Oh, I'm sorry. I was wrong.
I just want Ricky.
$10.
It's $10.
No rental.
And where were you going to buy it for less than? I'm sure the calculation is where were you going to buy it?
As Lisa pointed out immediately, you can watch it free on TV with ads, and you got to find it.
Well, it's not the original. You don't get the Dolly Madison ads. You don't get the puck, 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 booty, ba ba boom, boom. You know that the little spinning special logo used to get.
It would be cool to get the Dolly Madison ads in there. Actually, they should throw that in. There should be extras.
I got last year. I started a tradition of Hostess brought back like the Zing. Now Zingers are a Hostess brand, not a Dolly Madison brand. You couldn't get Dolly Madison snack cakes when I was a kid in New England, but now I buy like a three pack of Zingers and they.
I take it. You know what? This is a better deal than I thought, because you get a Charlie Brown Christmas. It's Christmas time again, Charlie Brown, the little known sequel. And it's Flash Beagle, Charlie Brown. You get all three for $10.
But you get the Star Wars Christmas special, because then I'm all in.
If they sold that.
Christmas on Kashyyyk.
Does Lucas own that? Who owns that?
I think Lucas buried
Disney
it.
Must.
Lucas owned it and buried it.
Yeah. There's like VHSs floating around of it. It's kind of like
so. Can I just say that individual shows are $10 and then the package is $20, but I don't know. That seems like a lot.
From this angle, Leo, you look like the NFL using their iPads on behind their surfaces.
It's a surface. What are you talking about? yeah, I know. Isn't that funny? Elf on the Shelf and Elf Story. That's $9. Oh, Paw Patrol. See, here's the deal. Pups Save Christmas, only $8.99.
What about Die Hard? That's classics. The real Christmas movie.
Which one?
Die Hard. That's the real Christmas movie.
Yeah, I know. anyway, yes, I'm glad that Apple got it. That's probably better than Disney. They're also, as part of the partnership, they're also going to produce original. Sorry.
No, I just want to throw out there that if we're going to argue that Die Hard is a Christmas movie, which I agree with, Poseidon Adventure, if it weren't for that like enormous like steel Christmas tree that they were able to like tear down, and they would not have been able to escape the ballroom. So this is, I will say, the Poseidon Adventure, also a Christmas movie.
Release the Kraken.
All right. let's see. I'm not going to comment on any of that. Apple's... I got nothing to say. Apple streaming video service, casting director, don't know what that means, Sony executive Tamara Hunter, after an extensive search.
They've cast the casting director?
They have cast the casting director. Alex, you're a media mogul. Why are they hiring a casting director?
That's casting director does more than just, I mean, it really is reaching out to the right people to bring them in for shows. And so you get a, you know, you're working with the producers, and the producers are going to have a show that they want to do, and then a casting director is going to go out. Now, I don't really know how a casting director works at that level that they're talking about.
She's going to cast the shows they got by.
Yeah, generally the casting director is the one that is casting the roles for all of those shows. You know?
She's someone who's
there's a lot.
She's actually head of the Sony Pictures Feature Casting Division. Right. So she's an executive. Right. She probably doesn't do actual casting. I don't know.
Remember that it's not just the... I mean, obviously you get...
She did all the Marvel stuff. She did Deadpool, X-Men Apocalypse.
Right. You'll have a handful of people that... I mean, it is a machine. You know, you have a handful of people that you want in the movie. You know, so we want Robert Downey Jr. Remember, there are hundreds of people that are cast into these things. And so there's a huge division that's figuring out who every person, and generally every speaking role and occasionally some of the non-speaking roles, it's an incredible amount of work to get the right people for every single job and to find the next breakthroughs, you know, to find the next people that are going to be, the next Hemsworth.
Which Hemsworth are you going to cast? Which Baldwin brother?
But it's the casting, Chris Evans, the great Chris casting Hemsworth. Directors are the ones that find those people before they... it's their first couple movies.
So why isn't Apple, I think, missed a
Chris
little
Pratt.
Bit. They could have sold a lot of Apple TVs had they announced this last month or at the end of this,
I don't think it's anywhere near ready yet. Yes, they're still staffing up all the whole Apple media project stuff.
They don't have a product. People are not going to go into Best Buy and walk out with streaming media box.
You've got to announce it with all the movies and shows, right?
Yeah. I mean, it would happen if Disney announced that all future Star Wars content will be direct to... We'll have an exclusivity window with Apple TV, or if there was some next season
catalog
of something that
content,
people absolutely
yeah.
have to have. Yeah. And it's I'm not speculating here. I'm legitimately wondering, is this a great solution? Are producers going to run into the same problem with Apple that they run into with networks, where you can't cast a background actor without making sure that some executive at the network approves that, okay, we approve the casting of this person for this non-speaking role? Is it an extra layer, or is it the sort of hands-off thing where her job is to get round up people and bring them to the attention of producers or suggest people?
In general, it that depends on the leverage that the producer and the director have. It's for everybody. You know, if you're a small director and producer, then you're going to be told by the studio what to do. If you're a big one, you do what you're going to do. You know, and it's but it has little to do with the company paying for it, and more to do with those two people and how much leverage they have because of what they've done.
How successful the last movie was.
Yep. I mean, you know, so some people get carte blanche. No one's going to tell them what to do. No one puts baby in the corner. but for if you're getting started, then you're going to have a lot less leverage, and the studio is going to tell you a lot more, and it's oftentimes for your own good. So it's not always a bad thing that they're telling you what to do.
Our show today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. When you're ready to buy a home, I want you to go to rocketmortgage.com/MacBreak. Rocket Mortgage comes from the best lender in the country, Quicken Loans. And best can mean a number of things. How about number one in customer satisfaction 9 years in a row? That's best. They're also the best lender because they do more loans than anybody else does. They're also the best because they got Rocket Mortgage, an entirely online mortgage approval process. You got to love that. Why go to a bank, fill out a long application, when in minutes you can answer a few simple questions, pick the loan you qualify for, and boom, you're in. That's Rocket Mortgage. Quicken Loans calls it the power buying process. Go to rocketmortgage.com/MacBreak. Answer a few simple questions. They say, okay, based on your credit, these are the loans you qualify for. You pick the term, the rate, the down payment, and you're in. In most cases, under 10 minutes. Then the step two takes kind of kicks in, and this is, again, without, in most cases, any input on your part. They'll go out and verify your income, assets, and credit with their trusted partners, all the financial institutions. And within 24 hours, they're going to give you verified approval. You will get a letter. You can actually, it's a button on the phone. You could print the letter or just show the people your phone that says, you're verified. You're good for it. There's no contingency. You got the money. It puts you right at the head of the line like a cash buyer. It also kicks in step three, the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. Rates are going up these days, but yours will not for up to 90 days while you shop. That's right. That interest rate they quoted you, that's locked in for up to 90 days. Well, I shouldn't say locked in. It can't go up, even if rates go up, and they probably will. But it could go down. If rates went down, your rate would drop. So you win either way. This is exactly why Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans is the best. They are the number one mortgage lender because they put you first. You're number one. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/MacBreak. That way they know you heard it here. Rate Shield approval is only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030. Rocket Mortgage at rocketmortgage.com/MacBreak. We thank them so much for their support. I'm sad that fire log is sold out. So I'm seeing this a lot. See this here? I'm seeing this a lot more on Pages. I'm on, I think I'm on Chrome right now.
I'm seeing a lot of broken, in general, broken ads, where you're just seeing code where the ads were this on is, a lot of pages.
This is what's supposed to be an invisible separator, like a like a space. But instead, I'm seeing a graphic that says LSEP. I don't, yeah, this is your worst nightmare, isn't it, Renee?
Yeah.
Is it a Unicode problem? I don't know. Anyway, the reason I bring it up is because, and I'm curious what you guys think this week, Microsoft announced we're giving up on Edge, the Edge engine. We're going to adopt Google's engine, the Chromium engine. We're going to base our browser on Chromium, giving...
It's not even Blink. They're taking all of Chromium.
Yeah, that's right. It's not even the engine. It isn't just the engine, which is Blink, which is a fork of Apple's WebKit, I should point out.
Yeah.
Blink is just the engine. They're going to do all of Chromium, and then they're going to contribute back to the Chromium open source project. This means Chromium and Chrome will be dominant, like 90% of the market share. Does this hurt Apple? Is Apple, you know, the Microsoft's justification, A, was, well, why are we developing Edge? Nobody's using it. But B, the world deserves a web standard, so you don't get things like LSEP in the middle of the, you know, you can test against one browser. No, I should
did
point out.
Did you see Swift on Security's take on this?
What did Swift on Security's? What did Tay Tay say?
That this was because Microsoft is having to bet increasingly on Electron apps, and the performance is so horrible that they feel like if they can instantiate a universal Chromium instance, they can reduce the amount of overhead that each separate Electron app is sucking up all day, every day.
They got Electron when they bought GitHub.
Which makes me want to cry. And it just makes me want to cry.
Electron is a pig because partly because it includes a copy of Chromium in every single app.
Yes.
I'm near wanting to just drop all Electron apps just because they're just so...
Swift on security calls Electron a cancer.
Yeah. but it's favored. Like, I've talked to a lot of developers who make Electron apps, and a lot of them, because a lot of the TV apps too, like YouTube and Amazon's Prime app, they're often OpenGL or some sort of cross-platform mobile app. And the users are never happy because the apps never behave the way they expect them to and are always terrible on resources. And the developers hate them because they end up being fast and cheap instead of being good, because the program managers choose fast and cheap over being good. So they end up having this technology that only really appeals to program managers and yet is increasingly being pushed across stacks because it's just so easy to do. And I think it makes everybody who loves and enjoys native apps and consistent user experiences very, very sad.
Well, but on the other hand, if you can create a good looking native app in JavaScript with progressive web apps, by the way, Swift on Security is currently Corn Facts on Twitter at Swift on Security. He links back to a post earlier this year from Sean Larkin that all of Office 365, almost finished, is completely rewritten in JavaScript and Skype and Teams and Microsoft's code, studio code, and all of MS Edge dev debug protocol, JavaScript.
A language and nobody would have picked if they knew this was its future.
Well, they had no, yeah. But on the other hand, it is cross-platform, and it could conceivably give, if it had the right service workers and engines like Electron, it could conceivably give you desktop performance. But they're cross-platform. It's, you know what? This is Microsoft acknowledging, and I think this is true. And here's the question for you, Mac panel. Microsoft's saying operating systems are dead. It's all in the cloud. Nobody cares what operating system they're using. If anything, the browser's the operating system. Who cares about operating systems?
I think it's good for Apple.
Is that good for Apple?
Yeah, because they're going to keep on building native apps. They're going to keep on having a control over the OS. And so it's a minority, but it's still a great minority that's never going to go over there because it just keeps on that world over there keeps on getting worse. You know, and so that's, you know, and so they're, you know, it's solidifying Apple's position in where they're at. And so it's not going to, Apple will still stay a small percentage, but it's better for them because there's more people that will go over to the other side and immediately want to come back because they're everybody's lowest common denominator in everything other than Apple.
I don't know if I agree with that. Chiefly because people, where we are,
talking about the average user, yep, not geeky users. The average user just going, this isn't worth it.
No, I'm speaking about the average user that only cares that they open a window and they get Microsoft Word, and the finer points of it. The fact that there's an underlying architecture that's superior, they're not going to care about that. The fact that a dropdown renders a little bit more fluidly, they're not going to notice or care. They are going to use an app that works for them, that is very, very functional, and they don't really care about the noise that the door makes on a car when you shut it. Does it shut? Yes. Does it latch? Yes. Does it lock? Yes. Is it reliable? Yes. I don't care that it makes a ka-tit thunk instead of a thunk noise. The fact that you can build it's not necessarily that a browser is an operating system, but a browser is a targeted development platform now that a lot of people don't, especially on mobile devices, don't care so much about the apps they use so long as they can access it throughout whatever browser they have. They're not going to really appreciate the fine points of the user interface that you can get when you create a native app for that's targeted exactly for one platform. And also, it's one platform for debugging. It means that the $200 device is going to work near. I can get the same app for the $200 device as I can for the $2,000 device, which is not appropriate for all apps and all tasks, but it is appropriate for most of the things that most of the people are going to use. And finally, the bad news, I think, is that if you are in Microsoft's case, if you're standardizing on JavaScript, you have just expanded the pool of talent you can draw on for development worldwide by an order of magnitude, I think. So I think it means that you don't necessarily have to, if you're looking for someone to build a Mac app, you are getting from a talent pool of people who've learned a specific skill. If you're getting from people who just need to know how to use JavaScript and can be trained up on a certain framework, that's not a bad way to extend what you're doing.
I think the ironic thing is that the mobile stuff is the one still getting native apps because they're so resource constrained and so performance sensitive that they're getting native Cocoa apps. Yeah. They're getting native Windows apps. It's the desktop, the legacy desktop that everybody's abandoning that nobody wants to think.
Here's the world. Here's the world that Microsoft certainly and Google certainly, less so Apple, envision is progressive web apps, where it's kind of going back to the original Steve Jobs idea. You don't have standalone dedicated apps. You have apps that are really just web pages that turn into apps when you download them.
Sweet solutions.
It is an advantage in the long run if we can get the service workers and everything. And Apple has Apple's going to be faced with an interesting choice, because as more and more apps are written in this way, they're going to have to decide how much support they want to put in. Do they
want
to be
support it?
Chunk company?
No, they're going to support it because they didn't want to, because like Apple has a native platform. Google didn't have a native platform. They had a mobile one, but not a traditional desktop system. And when Microsoft had Windows, so they didn't need to be as fast as Google either. Google desperately needed this because this is the future of their technology stack. And Apple's being drugged, previously kicking and screaming, and now I guess sort of like,
They put service workers in a couple of iOS's ago or something. I mean, it's,
they been just, around they a don't, year. They always will lag in performance, but it'll get to a certain point where the lag is acceptable.
For some. You know, I think that I still think there's a highly lucrative small percentage of people that do care about how the door shuts and do care about how smooth it is and do care about that thing. And that's I think, the market that Apple is working on.
They'll use BB Edit instead of Word because it runs beautifully. And I think, you know, bless them.
Be interesting.
I mean, if you look at...
may not have a choice in years to come. May not have a choice.
If you go to, you know, large companies, large technology companies, and you look at how many PCs they have versus how many Macs they're using, it's almost all Mac.
About reliability, though. It's not tick tick chunk.
It's about reliability. It's also about that if
security.
If the users are given, but a lot of time, most of those users are given the opportunity. They can get whatever
they
computer.
Can choose, yeah.
If they're allowed to choose,
Then it's about marketing.
Yeah, I mean, are they making a value proposition, or are they reacting to the fact that Apple is the luxury brand?
Rolex? I'll take it.
Well, previously you could run Windows and Unix on it, and that was unique. But now Microsoft is embracing Unix. So
yeah, I have to say this is one advantage, one reason most programmers still use Macs. The Linux for Windows subsystem is not even close to what Apple offers with its command line. Apple has a real Unix command line. And that is a huge advantage if you're a programmer.
You could literally boot into all three OSs on one machine, which was a big advantage.
Yeah.
It's a
thin slice. Yep.
5 or 10%.
It's business. It's certainly a business. There's no doubt about that. I wonder, though, I mean, isn't Apple facing this issue of platform and operating system, and how do we transition to iOS from
Mac OS? They're slowly doing it.
They're doing it. But doesn't this help them? It's pretty clear the future of the world. Users don't care what operating system.
I mean, ARM has a JavaScript accelerator in it, which is ridiculously fast. I mean, not ARM, but Apple's A series chip has a ridiculously fast JavaScript accelerator on it.
That's the approach to take. Optimize.
Well, they're slowly moving a lot of people over. The rumors are that a lot of their IBM partnerships and everything else have been very, very good for Apple. You know, as far as, you know, you look at sales staffs that are getting, you know, iPads.
I'm with you. I like Chunk, but there may not be a world for people
title.
Like that.
How
do you spell Tick Chunk?
Carson's
the show notes. And this isn't an argument supporting crap. This is an argument supporting that you have to give people things that are actually valuable to them and not simply conceptually valuable. And the fact that something might not,
such
I mean, there, you can, there, the two ways to improve a burger are to, well, we use this, we have this herd of cattle, it's only fed grass, but a special grass blend, and we prepare it like this, we season it like this, we age the beef before we do this. Another way is to put lots of salt and carbs in it, put lots of onion powder in it, because people will like it. And so you could argue that it's a better burger one way or another. But if you put two on a plate and say, here's your two upgrade options from the 99-cent value meal McDonald's cheeseburger. Here is a $8, $9 burger from a very, very nice local cafe versus here is the $28 burger from the steakhouse Chop House. A lot of people are going to say, if you have to pay for it, I would much rather have the $8 burger and two or three beers than tap water and the
if if 95% said that they wanted to the cheaper thing, and BMW's market share is about 5 or 6%. You know, I mean, that of the market, and they're splitting that with Porsche and Tesla and Ferrari and everyone else. There's a market out there of people who want to do that, and Apple doesn't have any reason. I don't think Apple has any reason to extend itself, past that market unnaturally.
I don't concede the point that the car market and the computer market are comparable, but
okay,
that's just a point.
All
of
I know is that the Air Canada terminal now has a Shake Shack. And LaGuardia.
Oh my gosh, I had not had a Shake Shack until like a month ago, and now it's like once a week.
The new LaGuardia terminal is just so gorgeous. It won't stay that way. I know. It's just opened.
Because it's LaGuardia. Gorgeous. I mean, it's just like there's like a sucking.
That's how you go to New York. You fly to LaGuardia.
No, I do not.
Air Canada. I do Air Canada from Montreal LaGuardia. Yeah, they're all bad, Alex. So like, I'm immune now.
Can I ask you a question, Renee? Are you concerned that like you fly to this airport so much that there's going to be a screen burn-in issue on your Apple Watch that's just going to see LGA and faded letters on every single page?
I actually am. This is why I try to go to SFO at least once a year still, but I don't get to control my destiny, Andy.
This might be somebody's pick. I don't want to steal anybody's pick. Is anybody going to pick the 6 free audiobooks Apple's giving us?
No, but I love it.
I love it too. Celebrity narrators. Well, sort of. The list starts strong. Kate Beckinsale doing Pride and Prejudice. Sounds mm-hmm. good. Mm-hmm. Titus Burgess, who you probably know as the fabulous Titus on Kimmy, the incredible Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh, right.
Kimmy, what's her name? Kimmy Schwartz.
Invincible Kimmy Schmidt.
Invincible, whatever it is.
Kimmy Schmidt.
Invincible.
He is so good. I love Titus. In fact,
good.
Titus saw this as a great Instagram thing. Anyway, he's doing The Wizard of Oz. Karen Gillan, I don't know who that is, Secret Garden.
She was on Doctor Who. She was Pond. And then she was Nebula in Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's why I don't know who she
Amy
was.
Amy Pond.
The Time Machine, Kelsey Grammer. And then Frankenstein. Frasier.
Kelsey Grammer, yeah.
And then Frankenstein, narrated by the host of the Lore podcast.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Aaron Mankey. How do you say his name? Minky?
Don't.
Is it your Minky? Mankey?
But Disney Book Group is really my favorite
Winnie
actor.
The Pooh, narrated by Disney Book Group. Yeah. It kind of goes
down. I love their work. She's fantastic in everything she does.
Yeah. Apple hired, I didn't know this, a former Audible senior vice president to run its books division. If I'm Audible, I'm a little nervous because Apple currently doesn't offer a subscription. Actually, don't Apple's books come from Audible? Aren't they Audible books? I think they are.
They had an agreement.
Maybe this time. Is. I don't know if this is also changing because this is only on Apple Books. So maybe Apple's getting into the audiobooks. Oh yeah, recorded by Apple.
Yeah,
their public domain works.
It would take an enormous amount of work on Apple's part. I mean, the problem is that. That becomes one of those embedded things. Like I have, I don't know how many hundreds of books on Audible.
I'm never leaving.
Like, right? I would never like.
But does Audible own them, or do they just license them, and other companies could license them too?
I think it's
that's
a mixture.
Exactly right. So that's an interesting point: is that most of the publishers record their own and then license them to Audible. But Audible has its own originals. And notice, interesting, Audible is a sponsor. That Audible is really beefing up the originals section. That's their defense, right?
Every content company wants to be distinct. Yep. If you can easily just move your catalog around, it's not good for them.
Yep. So I suspect a little battle on the audiobooks front is coming.
And one of the things that I've been surprised at is just requests from clients is there's a huge uptick on both audiobooks and podcasting because of all these speakers. You know, so I didn't realize. I was like, why is suddenly everyone asking me about podcasting again? And it's all these people are listening to all their HomePod and their Echo and everything else. There's been this huge uptick on companies looking.
I knew
for,
it would be good for podcasts because you could You could say Echo, play MacBreak Weekly.
Yeah,
HomePod and it will. Too.
Yeah.
That was a highlight of one of the updates to my NVIDIA Shield TV box a couple days ago. Which hey, now you can ask for podcasts. Yeah. And great.
That's huge.
We're about to start seeing a big push in that area.
I got into podcasts just in the nick of time then.
You did. it was like Harrison Ford going underneath the wall before it closes down on him.
Yeah, just exactly. Like so close.
And then you reached back to your audio whip and you kept running.
I'm going back to audio. Oh man. I was giving a tour. We had a big group from Kaiser. They want to do podcasting internally. And so they've come before. They wanted to see our – I sort of get them a tour. And I said, all of this, if I weren't doing video and live streaming, all of this, millions of dollars worth of equipment, the Elemental, the TriCaster, I wouldn't have any of that stuff.
You wouldn't be wearing pants, Leo. Let's be honest here.
I would be in my bedroom right now lying on my back.
With a headset.
Madonna headset. But you would never know, but you do.
Yep.
Costco now sells Macs. We were talking about Amazon and how maybe you don't want to buy an iPad on
Amazon.
But
you have to buy them in four packs.
If you're a Costco member, you can get the MacBook, MacBook Air, MacBook Pro, and iMac lines on the website with kind of significant discounts. And in some cases, Alex, they include AppleClear Plus.
Oh, there you go. But it'll take forever to register it.
So that makes the MacBook Air mere $999, two per customer. Oh, and uBlock Origin has blocked it. Here we go. Apple MacBook Air, Intel Core i5, 8 gigs of memory, 128 gig SSD. Member only item, but I can tell you it's $999. That's a good deal.
Yeah, it's a great deal.
Yep, we'll cover your cost of Costco membership.
Yeah,
my first PowerBook was bought at Costco. I got it's the PowerBook 100. It was when they got discontinued or whatever, and it was a landmark piece of news that, oh, well, now you can get them for half price at Costco. And I remember because I was 18 or 19, my summer job. I had to be at my summer job the next. I figured out that if I have to, the closest Costco was a 90-minute drive away, and the only way that I could get one is if I drove on, if I got up really, really early before work, drove 90 minutes down to Costco, bought one, drove back, get into work just in time, and basically do all this on 4 hours of sleep. But it was I still have it. It's so totally worth it.
I could beat that. I bought my first Macintosh at Macy's. I remember very well going into Macy's and because I had a Macy's charge card. So I could charge it on the card, $2,500 for that original Macintosh. It's funny. It must have made an impression on me because I know exactly what it looked like where they were selling it. I can remember that spot. It really makes an impression on you. And that was 84, right?
I remember buying because I was not too tired to, too tired to drive by any standard except for an 18 or 19 year old who thinks that he's in. I should not have done that. I will say that one. But it was one of those things where it's okay, I'm gonna go to this before I drive back. I'm gonna go to the gas station, get two really big bottles of Hawaiian Punch, because I'll down both of them in about 5 minutes. I will use the sugar rush to get me safely home. I shouldn't have done that, but yes, I remember every single detail of that trip. I also remember taking a nap under my desk when I got to work.
That's how this whole show began. 34 years ago. Bad decisions. Yeah. Cydia, speaking of bad decisions, that was the app store for jailbroken iPhones, is shutting down.
Yeah.
He's not making any money. That's why. Jay Freeman Sorek says a combination of costs and security issues, it loses money. And when there were multiple staffers, cost him a significant chunk of his sanity. Jay, I'm with you on that. I know how it is. My sanity's long gone.
Andy and I apologize. Alex has not.
That's too bad, though, but it shows that a jailbroken... it's such a niche, the need for a jailbroken phone. And I really wish that more progress had been made to the idea of, what if we totally unlock this and put Android on an iPhone? Basically turn into a Linux phone. And early steps got taken, early successes were made, but there's so many drivers you need to write that just getting a command prompt or just getting a boot screen is, you're on the first, you completed the eighth step of a 1,000-step journey, because it's interesting hardware. It would be interesting to see what people could do with it if they were able to totally unlock it and then just use it as a device platform, because there's a lot of pretty cool hardware that's in drawers right now that's not doing much. But yeah, I enjoyed the idea of what Cydia was trying to do, I'm glad they were there for the first 3 years when there, when I still remember any gathering of more than 12 Apple nerds. There would be one person who like, oh, wait, let me download that email. Let me just turn my iPhone into a hotspot. Wait a minute. How are you turning your iPhone into a hotspot? Wait a minute. Are you cut copying and pasting things? And yeah, that's
you have notifications.
Yeah, the sort of thing that basically teaches people that, wow, my phone can, could, and should be much better than what it is right now.
But Apple hired a lot of the best jailbreak engineers, so they got a lot of that stuff.
They used to that's funny.
They're security experts. Like you want to hire a crook. You hire a card cheat for your casino and give them a lot of money to maintain those monitors.
Sorek is going to keep the downloads up, though. They just can't purchase stuff. So if you did download something from the CDS store, you downloaded that Demo God thing. I remember that was a jailbroken thing, so you could get the output of the phone onto the screen. This is going back
a long time ago. Yeah, yeah. It was like
I haven't jailbroken a phone in years.
I think it was so painful that I just decided.
Yeah,
I didn't want to
it's not worth it, and the security issues and so forth. So, thank you, Sorek, for doing it, and thank you for even though the main expense of this is the downloads, he's going to keep those downloads up because he feels like he owes people. What about this crazy person who's suing Apple saying, you didn't tell me about the notch?
I love this so much because he is so smart that he can do the subpixel math on a pentile versus an RGB stripe display, knowing which pixels overlap and which ones don't, but he can't extrapolate measurements or see a notch.
The iPhone X product is advertised as having a 24x36x1125 pixels, but in fact does not use true pixels with red, green, and blue subpixels. Instead, it has only false screen pixels. So, according to my careful mathematics, I am not getting the pixels they paid for. And they hid it in their advertising apps by only having black screens up at the top there. Mm-hmm. So, I didn't know.
It really is the worst pixels.
How was I supposed to know?
Although I will say that it is hysterically funny that, of course, why Apple chose that as the standard.
Well, it is true, right? They don't want to emphasize it.
The iPhone XR is all over the notch.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Those are the two images, right? So on the left,
I don't think it's deceptive in any way. I'm just saying that when they had a gallery of things to choose from, I think they said that we don't want the first impression that people make is why are there dead pixels at the top of the screen? Like, they're not dead pixels. They're giving you cool stuff. Please just click through to the ad.
There are notches.
Just someone trying to cash in.
The 10 was very, I think one of the reasons was the 10 was blatantly notched and they left the 10 blatantly notched. There's another show title. The 10R was also blatantly notched, but there were so many other notched phones by the time the 10S came out that Apple didn't want to look like that.
Yeah. We don't really,
how long did it take for people to figure out that the size of the Apple Watch display was nowhere near as large as it looked like because of that black background? It's not deception so much as let's make our product look as good as possible. I think and it legitimately looks prettier without like a black band around the live display.
There is a crazy Steve Jobs fan club out there that will buy anything Steve has ever touched. Someone just paid $6,000 for his business card. Not signed, just his business card.
It's not even a CEO card.
Chairman of the board. Oh, yeah. It's not even. So this is like after he was. During the same auction, the premier issue of Macworld. Remember, that actually came with your 1984 Mac. I remember when I opened my Macy's box, I got a little card that got me Macworld magazine. Somebody paid for this autographed Steve Jobs first premier issue of Macworld. $47,775. Whoa!
I don't really save anything, so you know I always think back on all the things that I could sell. And I'm just like
two Macs. Steven Jobs.
When I did my last move, I had the eBay app was always open on my phone when it was like, do I toss? Do I keep? And then I found, oh, here's some sealed copies of Alice, and like someone is paying $1,000 for sealed. Alice. Okay, we're keeping that.
That was great.
I wonder. I mean, one thing I do still have, and I've kept it since the time that I actually met Steve Jobs, had a personal interaction with him, like face to face, only once. And I kept the damaged self-esteem that he created for me.
I have one of those too.
it's in pristine. I maintain that on a daily basis, so it's still as shiny and detailed as it was that day. When
I have that. All of us that have had personal interactions with Steve have the notch in the heart that was like removed, and it's like a, you know, it's
not rare at all. He was. I was at a weekend getaway. I've mentioned this before, 4th of July, 1994, and he was still at Next, and he was talking with John Massouris, who was the founder of MIPS, mm-hmm. the microprocessor company, and I entered the room. He looked at me, realized I was nowhere near their intellectual capacity, and went back to his conversation with Massouris. He allowed me to sit in the room, however, which was nice. So I will keep that.
Mine was worse than that.
Worse than that? He didn't put me down or anything. He just ignored me. Actually, he did yell at me for not playing volleyball well enough.
Oh, there you go.
So that's good. That counts, right? He says, come on, Leo, you're not even trying. Or something something like that. I was, let's see. I think that's everything. Is there anything I've missed?
No.
Tumblr's back. No. What do you want? You want to go to lunch? Is that it, Carson?
When they talked yeah. about the
he wants to go to a Heatron raid. They're what? Starting now.
What?
Yeah. New legendary, Leo. It started 15 minutes ago.
I can't. You know what? You people, I'm mad at you people who live in urban areas because you can do these raids.
I'm not in an urban areas. I'm in the frozen suburbs.
You should have seen it. I wish we had video of this because there's a Cresselia. The Christmas party was a dinner at a nice little place in the town that happens to be right next door to a gym last Thursday. And lo and behold, a Cresselia emerges in the gym. Lisa and I are looking at it saying, we have no chance. And then I remembered there might be a few people on the staff who still play Pokemon Go. So I shouted above the din, there's a raid out here. And lo and behold, how many people did we get, Carson? You were playing. I was playing. Lisa was playing. I think we got 7 or 8 people in that gym.
That's awesome.
And we took down the Cresselia.
That's awesome.
How do you get, though? I mean, if you get this Ho-Ho or the Luigi or whatever.
Discord. There's a bunch of people on Discord because like we'd all say, oh, there's one at this place. And then we'll try to get 6 or 7 or something. Oh, on the weekend, we had 30 people showing up for each of them. It was amazing.
See, in New York City or San Francisco, if there's a raid, you just go in because there's a million people.
Yeah, because the office buildings are filled with people. Yeah, the apartment buildings, office buildings are filled with
people. There's a million people in the lobby. What kind of iPhone is this? It has this button on it. There's the picture.
I love the suit, Leo.
Thank you. Look at, here's the video of Karsten in his light-up bow tie. Josh Windisch.
Motion capture with a suit like that.
There's Anthony Nielsen and his wife, Tina. They're playing.
That is a dapper individual.
We had a dapper bunch. We're all tapping. Get the Cresselia. There's Lisa. That's crazy.
Business. That's amazing.
That's crazy. But we got him.
Yep.
And then Lisa couldn't catch him, so I had an extra Cresselia, so I traded with her.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
So is that how I can get people to show up for my New Year's Eve party by creating yep. like a Pokemon
if
like
only,
hotspot near me?
If I could create a gym here, I would do it so fast. We don't even
level
have a Pokestop
player. You just need a level 10 Ingress player. They can add all those things.
All right. Any level 10 Ingress players in the house? is level 10 the highest at Ingress?
Yeah, I think so still.
I played Ingress when it first came out. This is from the same company, Niantic. But the problem was Petaluma had nobody, so there was nothing to do. You could capture the post office over and over again. But now I think it's spread out a little bit. Yeah.
They're shipping Harry Potter next year. It's going to be even more insane.
Yeah, the guys in Rwanda were playing Ingress. You know,
warning, as soon as Harry Potter comes out, I'm off Pokemon Go. I can't wait to play.
That'd be fun.
You've got golden snitches to catch.
I've got snitches to catch everywhere. We're going to take a break. Come back with your picks. Gentlemen, ready your picks. And it can't be Pokemon Go. But I know you want to go to that raid, so we're going to get this done here.
No, they're all night, Leo. I'm fine.
Oh, good. They're all night. I thought they stopped at 7:30.
It depends on your area. They're stopping an hour later for some people now. I don't know if that's... You can never tell if that's a glitch or a feature with Niantic, though.
I know. In Canada, raids go later. Yeah. Christmas comes sooner, but the raids go later.
November, Christmas is the best.
Our show today brought to you by Privacy. Privacy.com is the next best thing. Virtual cards from whenever I buy online now, and for the last 6 months, I've been using Privacy.com. You don't use the same password everywhere, so why would you use the same credit card number everywhere when you shop online? Every time you need a credit card, Privacy.com generates a brand new virtual Visa card for every purchase with one click. I've got the browser extension here on my Chrome, and you can see how easy it is. Any time I want to create a new card. And the minute you use the card, which is so cool, it's locked in. See, here's the card I used to pay Verizon. I could show you that number. You couldn't use it because it's locked into Verizon. Let's create a new card. You can also set a spending limit per month, per year, total. You can say this card is such a burner, it can only be used once for a $300 purchase and never again. You got to love that. You can name it. You can give it images. Let's say it's your Netflix card. Save that. This is so awesome. Security of your data is the core of what Privacy.com does. They're PCI DSS compliant, held to the same security standards as your bank. Sensitive information is secured using military-grade encryption. In fact, even better, because they use split-key crypto. So partial keys are held by separate employees, so no one person can access the data on the server. It's kind of like war games. They have to have different people to unlock it. And these cards let you use any billing info, too, by the way. So you don't have to use your real address or even real zip code. It'll be approved, so your information remains secure and private. There's a webhook API. They support two-factor authentication. Look, I'm sorry, Renee. It's only available in the U.S. It is 100% free to use. And just like credit cards, they make their money from merchants. They don't sell your information. There are no hidden fees. I've been using this, and I love it. You should try it. Just like credit cards, it's easy, it's fast, but one difference, they are tied to your debit card or your checking account. They've saved customers over $100 million in unwanted and unauthorized charges due to compromised cards, hidden fees, and forgotten subscriptions. Yes, you can pause a card anytime or freeze it. And so if there's a subscription and you go, why am I paying for this every month? I wish I got to go back now through all the old subscriptions that are tied to my real credit cards and move them over to Privacy so I can turn them off with a push of a button. I love Privacy.com. Protect your privacy and your money with virtual cards from Privacy.com. No interest rate because it comes right out of your checking account. You should be aware of that. I mean, it's like a debit card in that respect. But it is a Visa card, so it's protected like a Visa card. I just really think it's awesome. To learn more and get a $5 credit off your first purchase as a thank you, use our special address, privacy.com/MacBreak. That way they'll know you saw it here. Privacy.com/MacBreak. I didn't even mention the rewards, up to 5% cash back. It is so awesome. I don't know why everybody... I was on the line with Verizon because for some reason... I had signed up and they didn't know anything about it. So they were saying, you haven't paid your bill. We're going to disconnect your phone. So I called them. I couldn't get through. They screwed up my account. I think they have two different accounts. But I used a virtual card with them. And I set it for $200 limit. She said, it won't go through. I said, well, how much are you billing? She said, $243. I said, oh. I said, turned it up. I said, try it now. She said, went through. She said, what is that you just did? And I told her. I said, you should get this. Privacy.com. She said, I'm getting it now. Privacy.com/MacBreak. I didn't give her the URL. I should have done that. She could have gotten $5 off. Time for our picks of the week. Andy Hanatko, why don't you kick things off?
I have to recommend two holiday flavorites. If not everybody observes Christmas, I know, but art is art, I hope, in Universal. The first is the I nominate as the greatest Christmas album of all time. Ella Fitzgerald wishes you a swinging Christmas. It is the apex of Christmas albums because oftentimes they go a Christmas album goes from one artist goes in one of two different directions where it's like, wow, I have never heard of any of these songs. and they were clearly written hoping to become perennial Christmas standards that will basically pay for my third house. Or they are like, hey, Frank, we still got 38 minutes left booked in this studio. What if we like sing all the public domain Christmas songs and just like release a Christmas album? This is right there in the middle where a few you haven't heard of, all the classics and all of them sung by Ella freaking Fitzgerald.
Oh, I have this. This is the best.
Happiest.
Ever.
Yeah. Most nicest, and it's on every single service. So it's on Apple Music, it's on Amazon, it's on everything. The other one is one of my oldest, probably my first original Christmas tradition, listening to Patrick Stewart's one-man performance of A Christmas Carol. It's an hour and 47 minutes. You can buy it on Audible. I bought it on CD and ripped it because I don't want any copy protection, but do whatever you want. It's easiest to get from Audible. He does it's not a reading. He's not like reading A Christmas Carol. He used to do annually a one-man show where he's on stage in front of a live theater audience doing all the voices. And so, yes, he does the Tiny Tim voice. And yes, he also does, he didn't die of nothing catching, did he? And this is where you really hear the
that's not it. I pushed the wrong play button. Here it is.
Jeffet, not being a man of strong imagination, he failed.
He's so good.
A Merry Christmas, Uncle.
People don't realize that before he was nephew,
who came upon him so quickly that
the
this
captain
was the
of
first
the Enterprise
he had of his approach.
He's a great
Charles
Xavier
so
actor.
Heated
yeah.
himself.
Or Charles
rapid
Xavier.
Walking
yeah.
in the fog.
That's as good. A Christmas Carol. So this is his one-man show?
I think it's a slightly trimmed down version of the show.
Nice.
But I have been playing this several times a year during the Christmas season since I bought it at Building 19, the salvage store that is now defunct, on two cassettes. And I have bought new versions of it every time that they've become available. It really is just a beautiful, beautiful performance from start to finish.
Nice. Very nice. I love that Ella album, too. I listen to that every year.
Yeah, that's like...
I haul that out.
Whatever mood you're in, this will fix it.
Not like Temptations, a ghetto Christmas carol, I admit. But this is my pick, and I don't know where this came from. Carson, did you find this? PlayAppleMusic.com. It's a web interface to your Apple Music.
Yeah.
And it's not Apple, right?
It's MusicKit, isn't it? MusicKit based?
I guess so, but it's great. So you want some essential Christmas music? Just play it on your web browser. Every other music solution, Spotify, Google Music, has a web interface. I don't know why I should have to download iTunes just to listen to Mariah Carey. So this is PlayAppleMusic.com. It goes through an OAuth process, logging into Apple. There's a way to do that, so you're not giving them your password. Apple's doing all the authentication. I think this is fantastic. Really, really nice job. I don't know. So we don't know who did it. Just somebody.
Yeah, it's such an important thing too, because you don't necessarily know where you're going. You're not necessarily in front of a computer where you thought to install the software that you need. And to open up a browser, that's one of the reasons why I use Google Play. And that's one of the reasons why I still have Amazon Music. Just the ability to open a browser and listen to access a playlist, not just an album, but a playlist that it really does hit all of your syncing problems with a big hammer when all you need to do is open a web browser on a device.
This is what I've been listening to nonstop. Springsteen on Broadway, the soundtrack.
That was
so good. Oh, so good. This is on my Apple Music. And yeah, if you have a Chromebook, you can listen to your Apple Music now. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to. This is a good idea.
I saw the video of when he brought that little kid up to sing, to play with him.
He didn't do that at the show I was at.
Yeah.
I tried. I waved my hand.
Please,
I think it helps if you're 13 years old. Yeah. And you're
please
literally...
let me sing with you, Bruce.
Didn't work. Your pick of the week, Mr. Alex Lindsay.
My Christmas pick.
Okay.
Nat King Cole.
Oh, yeah.
My wife's family has listened to that, I think, her whole life. And so I just kind of, 18 years ago or whatever, fell into it. And now I just connect it to Christmas. Like if it's Christmas Day and you're not listening to Nat King Cole's Christmas, you're just something wrong, you know. And so anyway, so
you're Christmasing wrong.
The whole album's really good.
You're Christmasing.
But my pick is called Remove.bg, and it's just a really cool.
What is Remove.bg? What?
It's a cool web page. You literally can upload. Just take a picture.
Yeah,
They have some security. They talk about it on the page.
This can't possibly work.
It does work really well.
It removes the background from a photo.
Yeah, you just throw right. some. It, right. it only
Let me
works
pick
with
a
people.
Photo.
It's worth
oh,
with people.
It has to be a photo on your hard drive, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I might have some.
You can give it a URL.
I have some pictures on my hard drive. Let's see.
This is my first Pixel Core tutorial.
I don't know what I'm going to get here. So, hold your breath. There's no items. These are just a bunch of empty folders. Oh man. That's pretty amazing. But see, I don't trust
it. Actually works.
The websites.
I threw a bunch of stuff up there. It's not perfect, but it is something that does a really good job. If you're looking, a lot of times you're trying to grab something, especially if you're doing a presentation, you're trying to throw something into your keynote doc or whatever, and you just need to remove that background, and it's a little too complicated to use the instant alpha that Apple uses. I think that this one works pretty well at pulling, if you have some people that you want to throw
what
in
kinds
there
of images though. It's not liking the images I'm throwing at it.
I've only thrown JPEGs at it.
Okay.
And what it'll do is it'll let you download a once you've given it a JPEG, it'll give you back a ping with an alpha. And so you can, throw something up there. I don't know how it'll
My uploads keep failing. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe it doesn't like me.
But yeah, so I threw a couple images in there, and it actually worked pretty well. I was kind of, I wasn't sure.
You need to have what kind of image? Wow.
There you go.
Was that on their website?
Oh, great. Now Jeff's going to be targeted by a drone. Well,
why is there a picture on their website?
No, I just did that.
Oh, you just did that. Oh, good. Thank God. Well, this will be useful for us.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. All right, I'm gonna try one more time. I'm gonna
miss the ears
select
a
photo
really
from
good.
My downloads. Oh yeah, it did pretty good. I mean, that's hard to do. All right, let's see if it can do this one. Here's the original image. Oh my goodness, that's pretty good. That's a tough background.
Yeah, tough background. Tough. There's a lot of tough things going on there, but it still, kind of grabs onto those things. And so
it's better than I would do.
It's just like, if you're trying to throw something together, and again, there's certain things that I found as I started to experiment with it, things that are out of focus. It's using, AI, of course. So things that are out of focus in the background, it's going to pull better than, right. than other other
items. It's funny. I decided that the Christmas lights I was wearing as a hat
was a background.
Was a background. Yeah. Took those right out.
So, the embedded ones I kept, though.
And it's free. It doesn't cost you anything to do it. I think they say on the website that they hold onto the photo for about an hour as they process it and then get rid of it. They're not going to share it with anyone. That's not the goal is to show off the technology.
That's pretty good. That's pretty.
Yeah, I think this is actually the direction that AI is heading. It doesn't have to be. It's hard to make something AI or an app do something that's perfect. But if it can do it close enough that it turns an hour long job from an expert into 6 minutes of fine tuning by anybody, that's a huge win.
Well, can you fine tune it? I mean, does it?
You can't fine tune it right now. I mean, this is a show of technology, so it's not really. Yeah. So they're if you look up at the top, they're looking at making the API available to other
folks.
Ooh,
that would be interesting. That would be really interesting if the API were. You could then call it from a shortcut, for instance.
Yep. Or,
that'd be really cool. Well, there's a nice pick. It's a remove.bg. Now, actually, it did that one really well. Look at that. That's Jason Snell on the set. And Jason Snell in space.
Perfect. That's on brand for him, too.
That's a good one, too. Wait a minute. Save that one. I need that.
Remember, that's instant.
Yeah.
It's not.
That's remarkable.
Yeah.
Is it from Google? Who makes this?
That's Twit's first enamel pin, I think.
Yeah. Should I make a pin?
It doesn't talk about who it is.
Color lib.
Yeah. Which facial recognition AI? That's just the template for the page.
This is training the drones. This is direct to the drones, Carsten.
Who is this training?
This is made by Kaleido. Kaleido.ai. A division of DARPANET. A new twist for brand marketing. They're selling these filters. It's interesting. Huh. That's good PR.
Yep.
And you know what's nice? They didn't really brand it like crazy. They just made it available. I think all that leaves left is Renee Ritchie, your pick of the week.
So I have two picks. One is, and I left it in the car, so I am incredibly stupid, but Apple has finally, and I'll pause so everyone in the audience can give a finally, shipped the clear case for the iPhone XR, which was not available at launch, but is available now. Some people have complained about the price, but I've bought all the clear cases that they've had out since the iPhone XR launched, desperate to have something to keep the phone
in.
Yeah,
I have Spigens and ring keys and all of them. Is it
and
better?
And they've been yellower and smellier. And this thing is amazing. It is clear. It is hard. It is completely transparent. It looks amazing. I put some photos up on my Instagram because people kept asking about it. It's got a lip over the top so it doesn't put the screen flat down when you put it on the ground. It's around the camera sensor and the light properly so it doesn't diffuse any imaging. The buttons are a little bit tough, and some people have complained that they're a little bit hard to push. I don't find them hard to push, but I do find them a little bit overly stiff. So I would prefer if they were a little bit looser. But overall, if you bought your iPhone XR because you love the color and you want to show off the color and you don't want to just put it in any old stinking case, this is a super high quality. I don't know, there's probably some fancy chemical name for the kind of clearness that they're using on the clear stuff here, but it just looks really, really good. So if you have the colored one, I recommend that. I also have a cheap and shameless plug. Every year I do a list of what I think Apple got wrong during the year, Apple's biggest misses, and I just put up the list for this year earlier today. So, and it's funny to me because every time I do this, I get called an Apple hater and a jerk, regardless of how much Apple fanboyism or apologism I do during the rest of the year. So what have you know? That's just the internet. But if you're interested in the five things I think Apple did the worst this year, you can go over and check that out. It's not quite as good as Ryan Reynolds telling you why Nickelback is the best music group ever, but I'm trying to approach that.
Yeah, I'm looking, and there's video, but there's also text, and I have to say, so far, I'm not going to tip your hand.
Text.
I would agree with you in every respect. iMore.com, that's Renee's place. And /Apple's-biggest-misses-2018. Just go to iMore.com. It's on the front page.
You sound like Captain Holt.
Dash. Hey, wait a minute. Santa Hatted Pikachus are back. I'm going to let you go. Renee Ritchie,
yes.
you've got some spinning to do.
Renee, yes, sir.
Renee Ritchie's working at iMore.com. Goes out in the snow to catch Pokemon. Then writes
shiny
it all
up. Shiny Deli Bird, Leo.
Shiny Deli Bird. I want a Deli Bird. I really do. I haven't seen one of those in ages. Did you get a shiny?
No, they just came out again today, I think. Oh, I got last year's regular, now atrocious Deli Bird. Now I got to get a proper shiny one.
I got my first 100% Pokemons.
Oh,
two
nice.
Two of them. And I'm so bummed. One of them is a Krikatot.
No, that's, I mean, the worse the better. It's one of those fantastic things. Like, you have the perfect catch Pokemon. It's amazing.
A perfect Krikatot. Wow. The other that's one's great. A Mankey.
Oh, no, Leo, there's no such thing as a bad perfect.
Okay.
It's right in the name.
It's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got it. That's all I care about.
Perfect beggars can't be perfect choosers.
That's right. Andy Iannacco, you'll find him at WGBH Boston every week and here at, of course, our show and Iannacco.com. He also does a podcast about Android on Relay.fm.
So we're talking about lots of evil stuff over there.
Material. Relay.fm. Great to have you, Andy. You do that with Florence Ion.
Florence Ion was so we basically get the it's quite lovely.
It's a good show. I love it.
I like it.
And Mr. Alex Lindsay, who has multiple podcasts to his name. And at the Pixel Core, you could find many great things, but the best thing to do is to follow him on Twitter, AlexLindsay.
And every week or two, I throw something on Instagram.
Evidently,
I've heard that Instagram is this thing that the Russians are using it. Once I saw the Russians that were using it, I was just like,
did you see that? Apparently, the Russians used it more than Facebook. I don't know how that would work.
I don't know, but those Russians, these guys are pretty good at campaigns. That's all I got to say. I mean, how did we miss all these opportunities?
Get them running.
I know.
Can we get some marketing from the Internet Research Association for Twitter? Yeah, I think that'd be good. IR or agency.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have run out of time on this show, but that doesn't mean we won't be back next week with a very special episode, our Christmas episode. It'll be Christmas Day, the best of Mac Break Weekly 2018. And then the following week, we'll do it again because it's New Year's Day, and there will be a brand new Mac Break Weekly in January 8th, 2019. You know, we're living in the future.
So fast. Whew.
This was our last show of the year. Have a wonderful holiday, all you guys, and we'll see you in 2 weeks, I guess. You get a couple of weeks off.
Happy holidays. I'll miss you guys.
I'll miss you very much.
Yeah, I catch you.
Bye, guys.
Alex will
see
be
you
back
next year.
For our last tweet of the year.
I know.
A little cognac, a little something on that one. Anybody wants to fly out, you know, this is the place to be.
Can you just hold up to the TV?
There are any leftovers, you know, just I'll send over some Tupperware.
Okay. Just, a little Tupperware of cognac.
Something about sending. There'd be something about sending a like $100 of cognac in a Tupperware to Andy that would be hilarious.
Hilarious.
Just label it urine sample so it doesn't get stolen off my floor.
I'll put it in a red jar, yeah.
A little test tube.
Put it in that HomePod case. That'll be fun.
Yeah. I think I have some extra of a spit. Samples from those DNA people.
Exactly.
I'll just put it in there. It's not spit. It looks like it's in a spit sample, but it's not. Ladies and gentlemen, we do Mac Break Weekly every Tuesday around 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC. If you want to stop by, please do. You can watch live or listen live at twit.tv/live or on your voice-activated assistant. Just say, listen to Twit Live, and you should be able to hear it. If you do that, join us in the chat room at irc.twit.tv. All the people watching or listening live are there. After the fact, on-demand versions of everything we do available at the website. In the case of this show, it's twit.tv/MBW for Mac Break Weekly, twit.tv/MBW. Or probably the easiest thing, subscribe in your favorite podcast application. That way it'll be downloaded the minute it's available. You will get next week's special episode and then the brand new 2019 shiny edition of Mac Break Weekly on January 8th. Have a great holiday, everybody. We'll see you next time. But now it's time to get back to work because break time is over. Bye-bye.